When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Pixels, a podcast for the discerning gamer. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Pixels. This is a show where we talk about video game news, and we gather everything important there is to know, and we mash it up into about an hour, hour and a half show. My name is Patrick Beja, and today I'm joined again by Ed Mitchell. How is it going? Are you talking about what happened to you publicly?
Yeah, sure, you can talk about it.
Newly engaged, Ed Mitchell.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
It feels not much different than it did before, but lots of wedding planning and stuff in the near future too. So that's fun.
Yeah. Do you already have a date for the wedding?
Yeah, we're looking for next July. 22nd, 29th, one of those two dates.
So you have a year to get ready. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I found that, when I was young, I didn't have a very, I might have talked about this in another show, but I didn't have a very romantic idea of marriage. Like it was always like this pop culture, marriage is like the end of your life. There's always that part of it, but I found that marriage was just making everything that was awesome even awesomer. So I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yeah. Cool. But we are here to talk about video games. We're going to talk about some new hardware coming your way if you like building PCs, but not spend your entire life saving on them. Pokemon Go is incredibly popular. There's a bunch of little bits of news about Street Fighter, Team Fortress, Overwatch, and a bunch of other things. And we're going to talk about the CSGO Lotto scandal thing. And also, it's going to be at the end of the show, personal story time. I'm back in WoW. I'm playing World of Warcraft again. Pretty hardcore. We'll talk about that at that point. But first, if you're looking to build a gaming PC, a VR-ready gaming PC, and you don't want to spend, $1,000 or $2,000, the AMD Radeon RX 480 might be the card you're looking for. It's according to the independent testing, it offers very stable VR performance at 1440, which is a better resolution than the 1080 we're all used to. And it's about $200 to $250. So that could be a good choice, but wait before you buy, because the NVIDIA GTX 1060 is going to be coming this month in a few, maybe a week or so, actually. And it's going to have some pretty solid performance as well, and it's in about the same price range. So I would say wait until you have the results of the independent tests for both of those cards before you make any purchases. But it's looking like either of those would make for an excellent VR-ready PC mid-range gaming machine, which would probably make you very happy for your gaming needs. I can't remember, you're a PC gamer, aren't you?
Yeah. It's crazy how cheap these cards are getting, especially because the 1060 at least is supposed to be just like the 980, and the 980 was $500 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel bad because I bought a 970. I'm kind of thinking about upgrading, and if I can upgrade to this mid-tier card for $250 or whatever, I might do it.
When did you buy your 970?
2 years ago when they first came out.
Yeah. I think, It's going to be a decent performance upgrade if they are indeed as good as a 980. But I think it definitely confirms the fact that this generation for NVIDIA and this low-end, low-tier generation for AMD are excellent cards. And if you have, I mean, if you have a 980 or 970, it might be a question of, do you really want to upgrade?
Yeah.
But if you have anything other than that and you're a gamer, you're probably going to benefit from any of those upgrades.
For sure.
Do you have a preference between AMD and NVIDIA?
I've done both. My first card was an AMD, and I switched over to NVIDIA when the 970 came out. I don't really have a particular preference, but I've been leaning more towards NVIDIA as I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, I think it's the case for a lot of people. I used to have Radeon cards and even ATI cards back when they weren't part of AMD. Here and there, overall, I think maybe it's my impression, but I'm a little bit more satisfied with NVIDIA. They have more up-to-date drivers, and they have some added bells and whistles that make things a little bit nicer. So I think for me, at least, it comes down to brand loyalty, ultimately, if you want one of those types of cards. If you want something more powerful, it seems AMD doesn't really have anything to offer. But for those $250 bucks cards, it's going to come down to brand loyalty. And for me, I think NVIDIA is a little bit closer to my heart. It's not like, you know, a brand I love or anything, but I have this impression that might be misguided, that they're a little bit more reliable, a little bit more ubiquitous. So,
well, I found that the like you said, the driver support is much better on the NVIDIA cards. I've definitely noticed that. It's like, as soon as a new game comes out, a new big AAA game comes out, it's like, oh, there's a new driver for it right away.
Right. So, right. Yeah, I don't know if it's as much the case for AMD's cards. But yeah, I mean, take it for what it's worth. But seems for the both of us, NVIDIA is on. If it's equal performance, we might go towards NVIDIA more than AMD.
Right.
The other big piece of news, which honestly I didn't think was going to be that big, is the fact that Pokemon Go is available in the US. And oh my God, is everyone a fan of Pokemon? I often like to say that. I don't like to say, it's just stating a fact. I'm not of the Pokemon generation. And so it doesn't really speak to me as much as it seems to for the generation that came after me. But holy poop, do people like Pokemon. And it's only available in the US. It's so popular that they halted the release in other regions. Their servers aren't really holding on, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They're not doing so hot.
So
I can speak firsthand to this.
So Pokemon Go, for those who don't know, it's were you going to say what it is? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to talk about the game a little bit. So Pokemon Go is a mobile game. It's on iOS and Android. And basically it's kind of like Ingress. If people know what Ingress is, it's you walk around, there's a little map on your phone. You walk around and you pick up things in Ingress, but in Pokemon Go, you basically tap Pokemon and catch them. And the idea is that you walk around, catch a lot of Pokemon, you go to these little kind of waypoints on the map to get items and things like that. But man, has it taken the internet by storm this past week? I know at least 6 or 7 of my coworkers, some of which are not like all-time gamers or whatever, have all downloaded it, and we're all playing it, and we're all talking about it. And we, on Friday during lunch, we walked out in the parking lot during lunchtime in order to catch some Pokemon that were out there. And man, it's something else. It doesn't have the RPG elements the main games do, unfortunately. You pretty much just are walking around and catching Pokemon. But I went for a walk yesterday and Saturday. It's like the first time I've ever gone for a walk 2 days in a row in like forever. So something's happening here, and I saw a ton of people out on the park trail, all having their phones out looking at it. And as I was walking back to my house on Saturday, there was a Jinx on my radar, and I was like, oh, I got to go catch the Jinx. So I walked up the Jinx and caught it.
Jinx is one of the Pokemons.
Yeah. It's one of the ones that got in trouble for, if you look at the jinx and look up like controversies for it, you'll know why.
Okay.
I walked up, caught a jinx, and then I walked by two other people that both were looking at their phone. And I was like, "So, did you guys catch that jinx?" And they're like, "Yeah."
That's really cool. And kind of, I mean, we're starting to see some weird stories come out, like people telling people that they're being paid to work, not to catch Pokemons, and like this amazing police station that said, "We know that you love your Pokemons, but you don't need to go inside the police station to catch it. So please catch the Pokemons outside of the station."
It gets crazier than that. I saw a Tennessee Highway Patrol sign that says "Pokemon Go can wait," and it was literally a picture of someone holding their phone and had a Pidgeotto, and the Pidgeotto was in front.
Again, Pidgeotto is
another Pokemon. Yeah. And man, there was a article this weekend of a woman who was playing Pokemon Go and found a dead body in the river.
Yeah.
And there was another. There's already been a couple of car accidents from people playing Pokemon Go. Do not play Pokemon Go and drive. It's stupid. Do not do it. Do not do it. I'm guilty of it too, a little bit, but
oh
do not
my
do
God.
It. The other day I was driving and there was a Pinsir on the side of the road, another Pokemon. And I did the responsible thing and I pulled over.
Nice.
I didn't really pull over. It wasn't like a highway or anything like that. It was just like kind of a side road. I pulled over on the side of the road, stopped, parked my car, and then caught the Pinsir like a responsible human being. So do not Pokemon Go and drive. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea.
So do you see it having some, like, you just walk around and catch some Pokemons? Okay. Yeah. That seems pretty, I don't want to say one dimensional, but maybe that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
So how long of a life do you think that game's going to have?
I think people will be playing this for a while. Whenever people are going to go out, they're going to want to play this. But there is a little bit more than just walking around and catching Pokemon. If you go to these things called Pokestops, which are kind of nearby landmarks and things like that, you can get eggs, and then some of these eggs will hatch as you walk around. So right now I have 3 eggs, and each of them require 5 kilometers of walking before they hatch. So it's like, I saw this thing on Reddit the other day that was like, Nintendo's with every generation of Pokemon, with every new game, Nintendo's trying to make you get out more and more. And this is finally just like the final ones, just get out and effing walk, you know?
And I'm sure that people are going to like put them on the blade of a fan that wheels around, and that it will be counted as walking or something.
Yeah. So one thing about that is that if they notice you going faster than like, I'm sure like a couple miles per hour or whatever.
Oh, so they
know
if you're
count.
In a car. Or yeah. You have to walk.
You actually have to walk because of the way they do the GPS and the calculations from that. So.
Wow. Okay. That's really, so you didn't answer my question. How long do you think people are going to be playing it?
Well, yeah, I said that whenever people are going to walk out, they're going to want to play it.
Oh, so right. So I think
it has some lasting power, and we'll see how long it is. But I mean, I think that the discussion will start to die down after a while because it's something crazy new or whatever. So we'll see.
Okay, it's kind of it could become like a kind of a Foursquare type of fun, like people just go around and it's like checking in. You're just checking for the Pokemons, and is there a limit to the amount you can catch? Can you are there some that are only available in some cities, like you can't get them if you're in the US and they're in Europe or something like that?
I think the idea is that pretty in your general area you can pretty much catch all 151 of them. Okay. Obviously some are going to be more common than others. But in general, that I think that's the idea. With the exception of some of the more rare legendary ones, I think the idea is that there's going to be big events for those where everyone will. It's kind of like in the commercial, all the people in New York Times Square, like all gathered together to all fight this Mewtwo and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that seems interesting, and I'm not sure how, you know, it when you were explaining all of these things, I feel my age, definitely. It's like, I think it feels a little bit like me trying to explain video games to my parents. They're like politely listening, but they're like, oh, okay, all right, that's interesting, sweetie. Go ahead.
I mean, there's definitely a huge nostalgia tick to it. I mean, Ingress was not nearly as popular as it was before it got a Pokemon skin, you know?
Right. And essentially, it's kind of the same thing. So, another question, and then we'll move on to a few other bits of info. How much do you think this is interesting for people? Because I want to try it. It's just not available in France. Yeah. But how interesting do you think this is for someone who hasn't lived through the Pokemon craze when it first came out or at some point?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely a hint of nostalgia that's keeping the longevity of the game. But I think you'll get something out of it, if not just like the idea that you're catching. It does have the basic RPG like kind of catching monster elements to it. I don't know. I would definitely give it a try and see
what happens,
how it feels. But I hesitate to say to people that if they don't have the nostalgia of it, that they are going to love it. You know, they might enjoy it, but I don't think they're going to love it as much as the internet just going to buzz for it.
Right. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I think I can say that there were a couple people at work that like one of the guys at work, he'll walk around and purposely mispronounce the names because he didn't play the games when he was younger. It was a little bit past his time. He was too cool for Pokemon, you know, when he was younger. but he's loving it. In fact, he's probably the person that's playing it the most. So,
okay. So definitely give it a try. I will for sure when it comes out. So I'll report back. All right. Another few tidbits to sort of give you an idea of how popular it is. It's on 5.16 percent of Android devices in the US already, which is more installations than Tinder. It's more popular than Tinder.
I mentioned that I met some people that were playing Pokemon, so maybe it kind of replaces Tinder in the market as well.
Oh yeah, that would be and you go out and actually meet the people, and you can decide if you're like, oh yeah, that keep going, goodbye, or if you can go further. Be careful if you're sideloading your Pokemon Go app on your Android device because you're in a location where it isn't available yet. Apparently, one version of the APK has malware in it, so I would definitely recommend waiting for the official release. And finally,
So one thing I do have to say about that is the Android restrictions on downloading the app are a little too tight. There's a coworker of mine who has a pretty new phone, but he couldn't download the app from the App Store.
Really?
Because he could not, apparently the resolution on his phone was too small, but he siloed it and it worked just fine. So hopefully they'll loosen those restrictions after a little bit, because I think they're too restrictive.
I didn't realize those could be restrictions as well. That's a good point.
It's because there's so many Android phones in the market that they have to put some sort of restriction. And it's probably just like, oh, we didn't test it with this resolution, so we don't know what will be broken.
Right. Makes sense, yeah.
So hopefully they'll open up those restrictions as they test more.
Okay. Good point. Nintendo's stock has been rising. It's like more than 20% up on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. So, I mean, people are remembering that Nintendo has powerful IPs. Pokemon is managed by the Pokemon Company, which is jointly owned by Nintendo and Game Freak and another one. It's still a Nintendo.
And also remember that Nintendo put some stock into Niantic when they bought into this Pokemon Go idea.
So So it's basically Niantic is the developer, of Ingress, and now developer of Pokemon Go. So, another related bit of news for Nintendo and smartphones: they're apparently exploring the idea of creating a peripheral for phones, which could be, I think, one of the big issues about gaming on mobile. Is why did Siri activate? Shut up. One of the big issues for gaming on mobile is the lack of proper controllers. I mean, there are some on you know, manufactured by third parties, but nothing quite fits. So I'm wondering if Nintendo could make something interesting there. We'll have to see. All right, moving on to other news. The Steam Summer Sale was even bigger than last year's. That was kind of a surprise for me because... So why was it a surprise for you?
So there's a lot of discord around the Summer Sale this year simply because a lot of people felt like there wasn't as many like strong deal price slashes for the thing, mostly because all the prices now are the same for the entire sale, and that's due to the Steam's new refund policy. And some people feel like compared to previous years where with the flash sales, publishers would be more willing to put a game lower on price, like 70% off, 75% off for 8 hours versus, or in one single day versus entire week, that they feel like a lot of prices aren't as down as they used to be. But I guess, and I'm looking at some of the things, you'll notice that other than Doom, there's no real, well, I guess Grand Theft Auto 5 too, as well, but there's not really a ton of like real AAA games on there as far as like sales wise. Yeah. You know?
That's interesting. I didn't really, my reasoning for thinking that there it wouldn't keep growing was my very personal experience that I'm just not, you know, every time there's a Steam sale, I buy like a million things and then go ahead and not play them. And every time I'm thinking, all right, this time, that's it. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to, you know, I don't need that to buy games that I'm not going to play. And every time I'm like, but this one could be, you know, why not? Just get one. I think I ended up getting a few games this year again. So, I mean, this year, this sale again. Did you get anything?
Yeah, I got a good number, and I'm looking at my list right now to try and figure out. Let's see. I think I bought Doom from the Steam sale.
You didn't have it?
No, I didn't have it.
Oh.
And I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I waited because it was 40% off. You know.
Yeah.
So I bought Superhot as well. And a couple other like smaller indie titles that I want to give a try.
Oh, I should have gotten Superhot. That was dumb.
Yeah. and I've also bought Rise of the Tomb Raider, so I'm looking forward to playing that as well.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the still ever successful Steam sales. I think we had numbers, by the way. Do we care about numbers? Maybe you don't.
46 million copies of games were sold over the course of the week.
230 million in revenue.
Yeah.
Last year was 160.
That's an amazing
increase.
That's crazy. Maybe that just speaks to the popularity of games that have come out recently.
Maybe,
Because Doom was such a financial success, considering that most people were kind of middling to poo-pooing it before it came out. But because it was definitely a return to form for the series, that people just jumped on it. And I mean, The Witcher 3 recent expansion just came out too, so maybe people were wanting to jump on that. So
yeah. Street Fighter 5 has finally received its big update, the one that makes the game actually complete at last. That was a funny one. I mean, there's the cinematic story mode. The game is in a state that is almost close to like what it should have been when it first launched, which I understand how unnerving that is. I still think it's a wonderful fighting game. The big issue that remains, though, is the problem of levers not being punished harshly enough. So when someone feels like they're going to lose, they just leave the game. And I don't understand for the life of me why they're not addressing this more severely and more quickly. I mean, it's not like we've seen issues in Overwatch with levers, but there are reasons, and they addressed it. But there are reasons because this is a team game and one person might be leaving, and there are reasons behind all of this. But in a fighting game, I mean, it's so easy to do. You know, if you disconnect more than 3 times in one day, it leaves a little bit of leeway for people who don't have a great connection. But if you do still do that 3 times or 5 times or whatever it is, you get a penalty. Why? I don't get it. But aside from
I think that you can, even if it's just like a 10-minute like wait time for the first one, and then like it compounds after that. I think that's a smart move to go with for people that just leave, you know, so that they can't requeue within 10 minutes of them getting disconnected for the first time, and that gives that allows people that if don't have great connections, you can get a little leeway there.
Yeah,
and maybe it's the first time you get a warning, and second time you get that 10-minute debuff or whatever, you know.
Exactly, I think that would be perfect. And maybe there's a reason for them not doing it. And if there is, please let me know. I would be very curious to hear it. But I don't understand. But yeah, a ban, you're right, would be a perfect. You don't even need to, you know, hack the person's MMR or put them in lever's hell or something like that. Just lever ban, you know, you ban them from coming for a few minutes. 10 minutes would be enough, but just, you know, already someone who's playing so much that they need to leave when they're losing, 10 minutes is going to be a long time. And if you expand it to 20, 30 minutes after the second or third offense, that would be so efficient. There must be a reason. I don't, although, you know, Capcom has been surprising, let's say, in recent weeks, in recent months. Team Fortress 2 is getting a matchmaking and ranked update. That is pretty big. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Overwatch's matchmaking, which has been frustrating to many. I've made my peace with it, and I found a way to enjoy it. But I will be very curious to see how they handle it in Team Fortress 2. And it's surprising that they haven't had a matchmaking system and a ranked mode, rather, first since the game came out. But
yeah, it's shocking to me that they didn't have matchmaking before. But
yeah, it's you would basically just log into a specific server and play with the people that were there. And it didn't have, my understanding is, I'm not a big TF2 player, so again, let me know if I'm mistaken. But the thing is, if you want to do matchmaking, then you need to do MMR, which is matchmaking ranking. So you need to have a system that gauges people's performance and level. And basically, you do that for a ranked system. So I think it wasn't really a priority before. Has Overwatch and the popularity of hero shooters prompted Valve to work on this maybe a year ago? I don't know. It would make sense, but it's definitely an interesting thing to see. And they are faced with basically the exact same challenges that the Overwatch team is faced with, although they have more symmetrical maps, so that part is not as big of a problem. But they do have the issue that people jump into a game and can change heroes or characters whenever they want, and the fact that it's a team game, so how do you evaluate someone's individual performance in a team, especially since in Team Fortress it can be a lot more people than the Overwatch's six people team. So that's going to be something I'm going to be following with a lot of interest. And talking about Overwatch, as always, if you want more info about Overwatch, go listen to Overwatchers, the show I do with Garrett and Chris. We talk all about Overwatch all the time, and we've had lots of thoughts about the ranking mode, the ranked mode, and we're going to have more later this week. So please go listen to that. But aside from that, there's a new character that was teased for Overwatch, probably going to be Sombra. Do you play Overwatch at all?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, everyone plays Overwatch.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm excited for the new sniper healer. I don't see why it could have been any other type of character other than a healer, because I feel like there's
that's what the game
not
needs,
enough.
Right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what the game needs. The Symmetra, which is kind of classified as a healer, kind of plays more of a defense role than a healer
she's
role.
She's support.
She's support because she can put shields on people and she can do that.
Teleporter. The teleporter is great for.
The teleporter is awesome for sure. But I definitely feel like she fills more of a defensive role with her turrets and her shields than she does as a healer per se, you know? So I'm excited for another healer to join the ranking because it's hard because you only have three others that can do actual healing, you know?
Yeah, and the way she's going to work apparently is with, as you were saying, a sniper rifle, and she's going to heal people. It uses the biotics thing, and maybe either direct heal or maybe area healing, or we don't know. It's very interesting, this idea of a sniper support, a sniper healer. That's a thing I wouldn't necessarily have thought about before it was presented in the rumors and things like that. So anyway,
yeah, it allows her to kind of stay on the back lines while still being able to deliver healing to their teammate, yeah. rather than like Mercy and even Zenyatta a little bit that require to be in the group kind of doing their business.
Yeah, but then you have to be aware of your line of sight, and it's a whole new dynamic. And I think talking about ranked mode, we're going to have probably the latest that we're going to have information about this is going to be July 21st, so fairly soon. Is it 21st or 24th? It's going to be presented at PAX. There is a panel that presents that new hero. So
at PAX Prime?
I can't remember. It's one...
Or in, PAX Australia.
Or is it Comic-Con? There's a conference where it's going to be discussed in a week or two. And so... It might, why did I not put I thought I had the notes for this somewhere. Apparently I didn't. I know it's in the Overwatchers notes. I'll go get those real fast. But yeah, basically it's probably going to be, it's Comic-Con on July 21st. So
in 10 days.
So we're probably going to have a reveal before that, I would imagine. And then the panel. So I'm guessing they're going to have the panel after it has already been revealed. So it's coming fairly soon.
And hopefully they'll stick with their schedule or their original plan of like just releasing the hero and not having to buy it or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, they can't go back on that. Can't go back on that. For sure. Yeah. That's going to be the case. But you know, the thing that I really like about this is that it's bringing the focus back on because the ranked mode has made a lot of people very salty, and I think it's going to take a step back, hopefully, and get people to back in quick play to try the hero and have a little bit more fun than go super hardcore ranked mode. So find the fun of Overwatch again after the saltiness of the harshness of ranked play. So looking forward to that. Red Dead Redemption was announced to be backwards compatible with the Xbox One, and that apparently made a lot of people go to Amazon and buy it. So it's not surprising. It's one of the biggest successes of the last generation, and I would say we've talked about this game a lot in this show. If you've never played Red Dead Redemption, find it on the Xbox 360, or you know, if you have an Xbox One now, find an Xbox 360 version, or even buy it on you know, digitally, and play through it. It is an excellent game. Although, maybe I'm saying that maybe it was great at a time when open worlds weren't as fully fleshed out as they are now. I don't know how well it holds up after you know.
I think it does. I mean the kind of just random stuff you find in the world as you're traveling along is kind of the precursor to a lot of things that you find now with like the kind of random events and stuff like that. And I think Nick on the website was playing it on the stream, and I think it definitely holds up. I would give it a run. Yeah. If you like that kind of open world, it's GTA and it's set in like Texas or whatever, you know? So
it's
if you like
GTA, that, it's cowboy GTA. Basically.
Cowboy GTA, yeah.
Yeah. And you have some portions. I'm not going to spoil. But I think it's one of the first games where I was on my horse and I was just trotting around. I was just looking at the sunset, just going slowly, enjoying the scenery. It was amazing looking. It was.
And then your horse got attacked by a rattlesnake, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, Red Dead Redemption. Still crossing my fingers for Red Dead Redemption 2. We didn't get it at E3 this year. Hopefully next year. Hopefully. Evolve is going free to play. And that apparently made it pretty successful with the Steam crowd. That's not surprising. We'll have to see if it holds for a little bit longer. Evolve came out with a lot of buzz because it's the team behind Left 4 Dead 1. Mm-hmm. And it didn't live up to the expectations for sure. It was asymmetrical gameplay. Basically, it was one monster versus four hunters, and it was Turtle Rock, by the way. And so the game now is being re-released free to play. I'm not sure the mechanics of the game are gonna, that's what I'm hearing, it might not support a free to play model, but I'm sure they're gonna rework this, and they have reworked this to make it hopefully work a little bit, and it won't be pay to win, but it was definitely a game curious about, so I'm gonna try it out.
It's sad because the gameplay itself was actually pretty fun. There were times where I felt like the monster was just so much more powerful than the players, and there was times when I felt like the monster was like completely underpowered. So I'd be willing to give it another try, just kind of get back into that gameplay. But the problem was it just dropped off so fast for me. I just was not interested in playing it unless I was playing with a group of four other friends, you know?
Right. There was a lot of discussion when it launched that the content was too gated and in DLCs because of the way it was published. Yeah. Is that something that you would agree hurt it?
I think so. There's a lot of the monsters and stuff where we're trapped behind paywalls and things like that you could not unlock unless you bought it. Mm. And so just the variability of a play was stagnated just because there was so many people that only wanted to play or didn't want to spend any more money other than the $60 it cost for the base. And right. They just wanted to stick with the game, things that came with the base game. So
which is reasonable for sure. I mean, there are ways of making, DLC content even for a full priced game. And I think Street Fighter V, for example, comes with, what was it, 12 or 16 characters from the beginning? I think it's, I can't remember. But, you know, in that ballpark. And if you sell characters after that, it can work. But if you restrict it so much that you can't have a varied, fun experience, then there's definitely a problem with your game and your business model, so... And before we talk about the wow a little bit at the end of the show, I want to discuss the CSGO Lotto issue that has been making a lot of noise in the past couple of weeks, I would say, which is basically there was a lawsuit that was filed against Valve for creating an environment that is basically gambling for children. And, well, not for children, but that children can also have access to. If you don't know, I actually made a mistake in my French show. I thought you couldn't sell those items on Steam, but you actually can. There's a marketplace for that. So you can buy Counter-Strike Go chests, and in those chests are, it's loot boxes. There are random items, weapons, that you can use in CSGO, and then those items have monetary value. You can sell them to people on the marketplace, for the game. And not only that, but also, so that's already one part that is kind of, I would frown upon it a little bit. But then you have sites like CSGO Lotto and others that offer you a chance to gamble your items away. And all of this is kind of, all right, I get it. But the real issue came from a bunch of YouTubers that own CSGO Lotto and very popular CSGO streamers and YouTubers who own CSGO Lotto, the gambling site, the lottery site, and that were creating videos promoting the site without disclosing anything of their ownership, and then making big wins, which we don't know if they were, you know, that they were rigged in the videos, but winning big at the lottery, at the lottery on the site, and going like, oh my God, this is so awesome. I won. Woohoo. Yay. This site is so amazing. It's a site I found, which is really cool, allows you to gamble your items in CSGO and blah, blah, blah. And like, this is the core of, like, the issue of journalistic integrity, right? It's like, how can you even live with yourself doing this? It frustrates me a lot. There's more, but I don't know. I'm gonna ask, do you have any thoughts? But I don't know how you can have thoughts that aren't those guys are crap.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much summed it up. It sucks that, and maybe this is actually, I could construe it as kind of a good thing that the streamer market is starting to mature, in the possibility that once these things kind of become more aware, these streamers just don't really understand that this is something that they should do, and or like ethically, and maybe as these stories come to light, they're more willing to.
I don't think these guys specifically don't understand. I mean, it's one thing when you get money from a company, you know, that tells you, hey, make a video about this, you know, our new game, and that's going to be cool. And you don't mention that you got money to make that video. That's one mm-hmm. thing. And already I think that's outrageous and people should know. It's not, you know, you can't not know the law, especially when it's not an obscure little thing. Like the way that those things are governed is very clear, and it's been discussed heavily in the past few couple of years for, you know, the web and YouTube in general. But this is something else. This is the people owning the site that they're promoting. There's no way they didn't know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that people, especially as you skew younger, people don't really understand that there are consequences to owning something and promoting it without disclosing that. I don't know. People are just like, oh, I should promote my thing that I'm doing and make sure, you know, that they don't really see a disconnect between that.
I don't know, but we've seen apology videos from those, I'm not going to name them, but from those people, and the way they presented those made me think, I mean, it's obvious that they knew. They're saying, oh, I would never do that. It was clear from the beginning, you know, it was a matter of public record that I owned the company, because obviously their name is available in the records. But when they say that, you see the videos where they say, oh, I found this site and it's amazing. It's like,
oh yeah.
Right. This is
I'm with
deceit.
You there.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there are cases where people do it mistakenly. Although again, today, I don't think that should happen, but maybe there are some, you know, if a kid, he's 16, 17, he has a pretty popular YouTube channel and some company goes to him and they're like, hey, we want to fly you somewhere, or we want to give you a game, or we want to give you $1,000 to talk about our game, maybe that person is not going to know. This is not them though, so
that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, so the legal proceedings have been, the suit has been amended to include those sites in the lawsuit, and there's going to be things that happen. I'm sure Valve has been pretty silent on this until now. I'm guessing they're working behind the scenes to clean this up, because I don't think this can, you know, this is just something that grew without anyone noticing. And once that someone has noticed, I don't think it can keep going the way it is today. But no word from Valve yet. We'll see. And finally, in today's short show, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that surprised me a little bit, which is I'm back in WoW. I knew I was going to come back when the expansion came out. But, you know, the Legion is the expansion coming out at the end of August. And again, it's been a long time now, but I did work for Blizzard Entertainment for an even longer time. So keep that in mind as I tell you how awesome I think WoW is, and with my ethical disclosure. But yeah, I knew I was going to come back when the expansion came out because WoW is a game I love. But hyped by the expansion, I was, you know, reading everything I could, watching videos. I thought, I'm going to jump back and do a few things in the game. And I don't know that I'm going to play nonstop until the expansion comes out. But it's been about a couple of weeks, I would say, a week or two. And I'm having, like, a lot of fun. I'm doing the quests. I'm building up my garrison. I'm completing the achievements to fly in the latest continent. And I'm genuinely having fun. When I thought, like, you know, for the past few months, everything we've heard was, oh, well, it's so boring. It's too much grinding. And I think it is. If that's all you have to look forward to for, you know, 9 or 10 months, which is what happened with the latest patch, absolutely that would not hold. But now, for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or a month until, you know, the pre-patch comes out, I'm having fun. I don't know if you've kept playing WoW all this time with the drought of content.
Yeah, I have. So my raiding guild kind of fell apart a year and a half ago. So I've been kind of in kind of a limbo state. I didn't really want to start in a new guild, and I kind of was looking forward to having the time back. Especially because I spent so much time in that guild since I was an officer kind of leading. So since then, I've just basically been doing things like checking things off kind of a laundry list of things that I wanted to do that I would never had time to. So I've been doing a little bit more Ashran, and it's fun-ish. But I definitely like general PvP a lot more than that. I've been leveling alts and playing them. I now have 10 level 100s.
Jesus.
Wow. I know. Tell me about it, right? Yeah, it's one of every class except for the monk. And the only reason the monk's not 100 either is because I'm using the boost on him. So
right. Makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm quite enjoying that. I am... but basically my day-to-day on WoW nowadays is logging in and doing my garrison missions and then pretty much logging out. So there's nothing really keeping me in the game except for occasionally I want to go play Ashran or whatever. And then I'm also actually doing some transmog farming to prepare for the patch because of the new transmog system is coming out. So,
right.
That's pretty much what my WoW time is. And I'm happy just doing that.
Yeah,
for now.
It's well. So you're still pretty much as involved as one can be, except if maybe they're raiding hardcore. But yeah, that's impressive, and I completely understand that people. You know, I stopped playing for a long time, but it's surprising to me that I'm surprised I'm having fun, which is weird. You know, because I thought I had done everything I wanted to. I had gotten everything I wanted out of this latest expansion. And it turns out that coming back after a little while away, I'm still having fun. And apparently so piecing things together, if you're into WoW and you're interested in coming back, before an expansion comes out, there's always a pre-patch, which basically is the entire content of the expansion patched into the game, except for the actual content. So what that means is that all of the new systems are in place. So for example, for this time around, it would be the multiple specs that you can have and multiple talents per specs and the new, everything that is not taking place in the territory of the new expansion. And that should happen next week around July 19th is the current thinking, because the PvP season ends on July 19th. So if you're looking to get back into it, there's going to be some fresh-ish things on the 19th or 20th. And then the Demon Hunter, which is a new class, is going to be available mid-August probably for people who pre-purchased the expansion. And then the expansion itself launches August 30th. So there you go. If you're looking for a reason to get back into WoW, anecdotally, I've had a bunch of people telling me, yeah, you know, I'm excited about Legion. I'm jumping back to see how things are now, and I'm going to be playing for a little bit when Legion comes out. And certainly there, it might be that, you know, we play for a couple of months and then we go away again. That's perfectly fine. But
I don't know. Yeah. I think there's a lot that has come up in the beta that this could lend credence to the fact that people might want to stay around longer than they were before.
Yeah, they seem like they have learned from the issues of Mists of Pandaria, which I thought was phenomenal, and Draenor, which got out of content more quickly.
Yeah, Mists was awesome. The only problem that I really had with Mists was how quickly they were putting out patches, to the point where it felt like we were being rushed through the content a lot more. It's so ironic to think about that now.
When we have a drought,
a drought we've had. But I think if they had waited like a couple more months to release the Throne of Thunder, and then we would not have had the big drought we had at the end of in the Siege of Orgrimmar. And it shocks me to have Warlords, which basically had no patch content other than 6.2, because you can't really count 6.1 as patch content. It shocked me that was the follow up that we got from Mists of Pandaria, which had just fantastic patch content.
The irony of all of it is, I mean, okay, what they're saying about this, I believe them, because they're not saying they're going to be putting out yearly expansions anymore.
Yep.
They're saying they're going to be putting out, you know, however long it takes. So probably 18, 20 months between expansions. And they've made their peace with it. So the problem with both previous expansions was that you had content planned out for a year, and then hopefully the next expansion was supposed to come out. And it didn't happen both times. So they had an insane amount of time with no new content.
And Warlords is the only expansion, in my opinion, that feels like it was a 1 year expansion stretched out to 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Just because of the lack of real content it had. And so I'm looking forward to Legion. I think that the content in Legion has the chance to have a lot more longevity than the stuff in Warlords did.
Yeah. And it seems they're also focusing on the right things, the dungeons experience and the fantasy of each character. And that, I mean, we'll see. It all sounds amazing before you've actually been in it for, you know, months and months. But
yeah, I'm really looking forward to the customization that comes with the using the artifacts, being able to kind of go around and collect different artifact skins and things like that. That kind of stuff, I just eat up. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so look forward to more WoW discussion in the instance. If you listen to that show, it's all about World of Warcraft and Blizzard games. But I think finally we're going to have a lot of WoW-specific stuff to discuss. And we are going to be doing a roundup for the next episode, and the one after that are going to be all about Legion, basically the pre-expansion patch and then the expansion-specific stuff. So look forward to that this week and hopefully next week. And that is, I'm jumping up and down, excited about this game. So just want, you know, WoW basically is the thing that got me started in podcasting, and it has a very dear place in my heart. It's a societal phenomenon. It brought a lot of us together. A lot of my online friends today are friends because of WoW. So, It's always something special, so I wanted to mention that I fell back into it, and I'm very about it. So.
Oh, and quickly get your challenge modes done before July 19th.
But that I don't, you know. So first of all, why to get the rewards?
So in July, once July 19th comes around, you will not be able to unlock the rewards anymore. You'll still be able to get them if you have the achievement, but you won't be able to unlock them anymore because challenge modes are being. The challenge modes is the way they are now are effectively being removed from the game once Legion hits.
But then you need to organize a team together and a group, and I guess
tell me about it. I wanted to last night, and people were too busy. So
That's
I'm hoping I can knock out the last couple that I have before before the patch comes out.
Trying to focus on my legendary ring, which I don't think I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. It's too late. But
I think if you've started. if you've started the quest line, you'll be able to finish it.
Well, yeah, but no, it's not. It, basically, you have until the launch of the expansion itself. You have to start it before the pre-patch, and then you have until the launch of the expansion itself to finish it. And just grinding-wise, I'm not going to be able to do the raids as much as I need to gather all the items to complete the quests. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know how exactly that works, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have, if you're only at the last piece of the chain, you'll be able to keep getting...
Oh, I'm not. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, another legendary I'm not going to get. They will be reigning like cats and dogs
in
Legion. And they're interesting
I'm not so sure about how I feel about the legendary
that's a different
Legion. But
that's a different thing. They're like Diablo legendaries.
I know. It just feels weird.
You remind me of the time when people were complaining others were getting epics. They're like, oh, those casuals getting welfare epics.
Yeah. I think that's a little different because legendaries have been so rare, like way more rare than they were in the past.
That's
true. I guess. I don't
know. But everyone can get one and since two expansions.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, if you want to hear more about these conversations and the concerns and the ideas we have for WoW and the expansion, go listen to The Instance. That's going to be it. Short and sweet and fun. Thank you so much for being on, Ed. Can you tell people where they can find your stuff on the internet?
Yeah, sure. So if you go to 4playernetwork.com, you'll find that we have completely redesigned the website. And it looks really cool now, and I'm really looking forward to the future of it. We're trying to do like monthly giveaways and stuff like that. And one of the ways you can enter to do a monthly giveaway is to submit a quick read. And that's just like a quick 500 words or less, little blog post that we will feature on the site and put your name on it and do all that kind of stuff. So we really are looking for more people to kind of jump on there, and you get an entry into the giveaway if you do that. And if you want to watch me broadcast, I usually go on Mondays and sometimes during the week it changes. Just depends on what the schedule's like. But tonight I'm broadcasting Mirror's Edge, the original Mirror's Edge, and finishing up that starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then this week on every Thursday is the podcast that they record. I am not on that podcast, but I kind of do a lot of background stuff to kind of help them out. And so if you're looking for that, it's on Thursdays at 9 p.m. and just go to 4pp.tv to watch us broadcast live.
Excellent. 4pp.tv it is.
Yep.
And for me, it's Not Patrick on Twitter and on Facebook. And you can find my shows at frenchspin.com. You can find this one, of course. And you can also find the Phileas Club, where we discuss international matters with people from different countries. Imagine that, talking about world news with people from the world. And the last episode was about the Brexit, and where, you know, it was really interesting. I'm looking forward to doing more. And so if you want to,
you should get an episode another episode about the Brexit with a lever on there.
That is an excellent idea. So anyway, just go listen to that. It is, if you're wondering what it's all about, it's fun and interesting and serious at the same time. Fun and serious at the same time. I'm sure you would enjoy it. So go check
it
out. It's at, thank you. Thank you very much. FrenchSpin.com. And that's going to be it for us. We'll be back in about a couple of weeks. Bye, everyone.
Cool. See ya.
Yeah. even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.